Suki did not exist before this episode. What they are about to describe is happening across West Midlands as you listen. This is their story. In Stafford, qualified nurses who want to specialise in paediatric intensive care cannot access the training programmes that would take them to the children's wards where they are desperately needed. The training centres exist, the expertise exists, but the connection between them has been severed by a treasury that treats public investment as a household expense.
I knew I wanted to work with children from the moment I walked onto the paediatric ward at Stafford Hospital as a 17-year-old volunteer. My little brother Arjun had just been diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, and I watched the nurses turn his fear into trust with nothing but patience and skill. They taught him how to test his blood sugar like it was a game, made him laugh while they showed him how to inject insulin. I thought, this is what I want to do with my life. I finished my nursing degree at Staffordshire University in 2019, graduated with good marks, and immediately applied for specialist training in paediatric intensive care through Health Education England West Midlands. I was ready. I had volunteered on children's wards throughout my degree. I had references from consultants who knew my work. I had seen what happened when a child's breathing became laboured or their heart rate spiked. I wanted to be the person who could step in at that moment. The rejection letter arrived 6 weeks later. The programme is oversubscribed due to budget constraints, it said. We advise you to gain general ward experience first and reapply in future funding rounds. I was disappointed but not devastated. Everyone told me this was normal, that specialist training was competitive. Get some experience, they said. Show them you're serious. So I took a job on the adult medical ward at County Hospital Stafford. For 2 years, I cared for elderly patients with chronic conditions, learned about medication management, wound care, end-of-life support. Good experience, but every day I knew I was in the wrong place. I requested transfers to the paediatric ward repeatedly. Each time I was told they needed experienced paediatric nurses, not adult trained staff. The circle was perfect. I could not get paediatric experience without paediatric training, and I could not get paediatric training without paediatric experience. In 2021, I reapplied for the specialist training program. By then, I had 2 years of nursing experience, glowing appraisals, additional certifications in emergency care. I was confident this time would be different. The rejection was faster, but the language was blunter. NHS England wrote, "Funding allocations from HM Treasury have been reduced and we cannot afford to run additional cohorts." I stared at that phrase. We cannot afford. The National Health Service could not afford to train nurses for the wards that were short-staffed every day. I decided to try a different route. Birmingham Children's Hospital ran its own internal training program for paediatric intensive care nurses. I drove down the M54 to speak to them directly, portfolio in hand, ready to make my case in person. The HR manager, Sarah, was sympathetic but clear. "We desperately need paediatric ICU nurses," she said. "We have consultants asking me every week when the next cohort will start. But we can only fund training places that Health Education England has pre-approved, and the money simply isn't there." There it was again. The money simply isn't there. I had heard it from Health Education England, from NHS England, now from the hospital itself. Everyone wanted the same thing I wanted. The children needed the nurses, the hospital needed the staff, I needed the training. But somewhere, someone had decided that the money did not exist to connect these needs. Then I started noticing things that did not fit this story. My friend Gail lives in Nuneaton, and when I visited her one weekend, she mentioned the old Warwickshire Training Centre. "Such a shame," she said. "Beautiful building, all that equipment, just sitting empty now." I asked her to show me. We drove past a purpose-built training facility with Health Education England still visible on the sign. The car park was empty, but through the windows I could see simulation mannequins covered in dust sheets, computer terminals dark, classroom chairs stacked against the walls. The following weekend I was walking near Cannock Chase when I came across another shuttered building, the West Midlands Regional Training Hub. The sign was still there, the logo still bright. Weeds had grown through the tarmac in the car park, but the simulation equipment was visible through the ground floor windows. State-of-the-art training beds, ventilators, monitoring equipment, all of it gathering dust while hospitals across the region complained they could not find trained pediatric nurses. I stood in that car park and finally understood what I was looking at. The people existed, me and dozens of others like me, qualified nurses who wanted specialist training. The equipment existed, millions of pounds worth of simulation technology, purpose-built for exactly the kind of training we needed. The expertise existed. The consultants and senior nurses who had been teaching on these programs for years. The need existed, children's wards running short-staffed, pediatric intensive care units turning away patients because they did not have enough trained nurses to staff the beds safely. What did not exist, apparently, was the money to connect all these pieces. But that made no sense. The government that printed the notes in my wallet, that minted the coins in my purse, claimed it could not find enough of them to open the doors of buildings it already owned, to switch on equipment it had already bought, to pay the salaries of trainers who wanted to work. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were. All of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I'm still at County Hospital Stafford, still caring for adults, still watching the pediatric ward struggle with staff shortages. But I understand now that what happened to me is not just my story. It is the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare. The children are still there. The nurses who want to care for them are still here. The decision to keep us apart was political, not financial.
What Suki experienced has a name, fake experts. A fake expert is someone who presents themselves as an authority while lacking genuine expertise or having conflicts of interest. During the tobacco era, scientists funded by cigarette companies claimed smoking was safe, citing their credentials while hiding who paid them. Their expertise was real, but their independence was not. In Suki's case, the fake experts were economists who treated the government budget like a household budget without acknowledging the fundamental difference. Households do not issue their own currency. Every time NHS England said there is no money, they cited economic orthodoxy that treats public spending as inherently limited. These advisers spoke with authority about fiscal constraints while ignoring that the UK government creates pounds when it spends them. The austerity objection was explicit. Economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation. But which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say, without naming them, is an appeal to unnamed authority. The real constraint was never pounds. It was resources, people, skills, materials, time. And in Stafford, those resources were sitting idle. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Stafford ranks 366 out of 543 English constituencies for deprivation, placing it in decile 7. English indices of deprivation, 20 out of 25, M, H, C, L, G. The constituency has 2,221 registered charities, Charity Commission Register, England and Wales. Total grants received were £13.5 million, 360 giving grant NAV. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.